I'd like to read from John's Gospel, John chapter 9, and we'll begin at verse 1. And as he passed on, he, that is Jesus, saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifested in him. I must work the works of him that has sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud of the spittle and put the mud as ointment on his eyes. And he said to him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is interpreted sent. He went therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbours therefore, and those who used to see him before, that he was a beggar, said, Is not this he that was sitting and begging? Some said, It is he. Others said, No, but he is like him. He said, It is I. They said therefore to him, How have thine eyes been opened? He answered and said, A man called Jesus made mud and anointed mine eyes and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. And having gone and washed, I saw. They said therefore to him, Where is he? He says, I do not know. Then later on in the same chapter, verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And having found him, he said to him, Thou, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, And who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? And Jesus said to him, Thou hast both seen him, and he that speaks with thee is he. We're living in a world where things are not normal. Indeed, this week, many people have been trying to get back to normal. Schools have reopened. Perhaps more people have tried to go back to work. But the whole world is really not normal. And even though we may be trying to get back to doing what we used to do, things are very different. The pandemic has brought upon all of us the real risk of death. For some, it's more than others. The elderly and those with underlying medical conditions, there is a very real risk that if they catch the virus, they would die from it. And the other aspect is that none of us know whether we may be carrying the virus or not. And therefore, none of us know whether or not we might inadvertently pass on the virus to someone, maybe someone who is very much at risk. All these things mean that the conditions in which we're living today are far from normal, and we all have to change the way we live. I've read about a man whose life was far from normal. He was born blind. Nothing was ever going to go well for him. In fact, we know that he was a beggar. But one day, Jesus met him, and his life was completely changed. And where he'd had to live as a beggar, he came to know the Lord Jesus as his own personal saviour. And really, what I want to speak to you about today is the real need that every one of us has of knowing Jesus as our saviour. And it needs to be a personal link that you and I have with Jesus. We can't rely upon anyone else to make that connection for us. It's something that you personally have to do. And Jesus wants to have a personal, individual link with you, not through anyone else, you and him. And so today, more than ever, we need to have someone that we can rely upon. We can give thanks for all that the government is doing to try and make our lives safer, to try and regulate the way in which we might be able to get back to normality. But for all of us, there is this closer encounter with death than perhaps we've ever had before. Maybe we all know someone who's been affected by the virus. Maybe we know those that have to work with persons who are severely ill and struggling to recover. All these things make the thought of death come more real to us. But it's never been the fact that death is not around. It's always been there, right from the beginning. And ever since man has sinned, death has passed onto the whole human race. And we will all have to face it at some point. But I suppose the threat of it being imminent, or the possibility that we might have to face it sooner than we thought, starts to bring us up, makes us question what's going to happen. What does it really mean for me? Well, God has spoken to us about these things, and we'll find the Holy Bible is full of remarks about those that have died, full of remarks about what comes after death. The scripture makes it very plain that after death, the judgment, each one of us will be judged according to our works. The Bible also makes reference to life and that God has a book of life. I wonder if your name is written in that book of life. If you know Jesus as your Saviour, you will know this for sure, that your name is written in that book of life. This blind man of whom we read, you know, his name was written in that book of life. He had a very bad start to his life. He was blind, physically blind. But I was blind too, spiritually blind. I didn't realise that my sins meant that I would have an eternity away from God, that I would be punished forever in the place that we speak of as hell, the lake of fire. But one day my eyes were opened to see that that was my future prospect, unless I accepted that Jesus had died for my sins and that he dealt with my sins before a righteous, holy God, so that I could be saved and that I could be given life and the promise of eternal life and being forever in the presence of God. These things are very real. Do you have that knowledge that Jesus has loved you and has died for you and has dealt with all of your sins? Well, today, more than ever, you need to come to Jesus and accept him as your own personal Saviour. Well, in one sense, this blind man of whom we've read, he wasn't expecting anything different on this particular day, but the Lord Jesus came into his life, and the Lord knew that he was there, and the Lord knew that he was able to cure him of his blindness. The disciples wanted to know why he was blind, whether it was because of anything particularly bad that he'd done. But Jesus said, no, he is there that the works of God will be manifested in him. And I think it's quite remarkable. This man put his complete trust in a stranger, a total stranger. And this stranger made mud and put it on his eyes. And the man trusted him to do that. And furthermore, when he was told to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, he trusted Jesus to do just that. And he went and he washed. And having done that, he came up, opened his eyes, and for the first time in his life, he saw what was around him. Others saw that he'd been changed. Others saw that he was different, no longer a beggar. And of course, some couldn't even believe that it was the same person. But he was able to tell them that it was him. He was able to tell them about the man called Jesus that had cured him. And so they asked him, well, where is he? And he had to say, actually, I don't know. And I didn't read the whole chapter. But we find that there are a number of questions that were asked of this man. I'll just perhaps briefly touch on them. This first question, where is he? That's a question we can all ask ourselves. Do we know where Jesus is? He's available to be your saviour, but do you know where he is? Well, he's in heaven. He went into death for you and for me. He died on the cross at Calvary. All that is recorded for us in the scriptures. He did that because that was the only way in which God righteously can forgive us our sins, as if those sins have been borne and the judgment in relation to them has been exhausted by someone for us. We can't do anything before God that will justify us. We can't do anything before God that will deal with our sins and make things right before God. The cost is too great for you and I to be able ever to pay our way out of the debt that we owe for our sins. But Jesus has paid that debt. Jesus has given his life. The sinless one has died, the just for the unjust. And Jesus has shed his precious blood too, that blood that God looks upon, the blood of a spotless, perfect, holy man. And because Jesus has died for you, if you put your trust in that finished work, he will be able to deal with your sins because he has borne them for you. But Jesus didn't remain in death. On the third day, as the scripture records for us, he rose from among the dead. He's now ascended at the right hand of God, a living saviour, a man in the glory, a man who's living today to be your own personal saviour. As we sometimes say, an all-the-way-home saviour, one who will be with you, whatever your circumstances, whatever happens to you, and one who will receive you into his presence for eternity. So that's where Jesus is today. This blind man didn't know where he was. And actually, he was lost. He was brought to the Pharisees, the religious people of the day, in the hope that they might be able to help him. But they couldn't. In fact, they try to find out more about this man, Jesus, and they ask what he thought of him. What sort of a man is he? Well, the blind man knew one thing. He knew that he'd received his sight. He said, "This one thing I know, that being blind before, now I see." He also knew that this man must have been a prophet. He was also asked, "Well, where did the man come from?" And the blind man knew something else. He knew that it had never, ever happened before that a blind man, born blind, had received sight. It had never been known. And therefore he knew that the man who'd done this to him and given him his sight must have come from God. But the Pharisees wouldn't accept it and they cast him out. So where I read in verse 35, Jesus, who knows everything, knew exactly what this man had been going through. He knew that he was lost. He knew that he'd been cast out. And Jesus finds him, draws right close to him. And today Jesus will draw very close to each and every one of us. Jesus asks him a question. He says, "Thou, do you believe on the Son of God?" Well, the blind man, he knew that the Son of God was a person who he should believe on. But he wanted to know who it is, who it was. "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?" Jesus, he is the Son of God. I can tell you that. And if you believe that, that's one of the wonderful ways in which you begin this road to salvation and the road to blessing. Recognize that Jesus was sent here as God's Son, the one whom God sent because God loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, as soon as this blind man realized that the person speaking to him, he would have recognized that voice, he suddenly puts it all together. He recognizes that this man is indeed the Son of God. He recognizes that Jesus is the one that had given him his sight. But he recognizes, too, that Jesus is the one who can be his all-the-way-home saviour. So at that moment, he simply turns to him, bows before him, confesses that he believes and worships the Saviour Jesus. What a wonderful result. What a wonderful thing that this man came to know Jesus personally as his own Saviour, and he had a personal link with him. And that's simply what I want for everyone today, that you might come to Jesus, know him as your own personal Saviour, know that he is the one who has settled every question in relation to your sins. Know that he is the one who can take away the fear of death. Know that he is the one that is the way, the truth, and the life, the one through whom you can become in the presence of God the Father. He's the only way, the only access we have to God is through Jesus. And he's available to you tonight if you come to him. I hope that everyone who hears this short message tonight will just put their full trust in Jesus. There's no other way to be sure of your future. There's no other way to know that you will have life, eternal life. It can only be by coming to Jesus, accepting that he has dealt with your sins, and by believing on him, you can know the joy that this blind man himself knew, the joy of having his eyes opened to see clearly, the joy of knowing Jesus personally as his own Saviour. May it be your blessing, may it be your joy today, for his name's sake.